Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report. The Red Cedar Report is a part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like the Red Cedar Report on Facebook or, as always, follow us on Twitter at our Twitter handle at Red Cedar Report. Grant Essenmacher is with me. We're going to talk about the downward spiral, the toilet flush, if you will, that is currently Michigan State's season, a four-game losing streak. If they lose this weekend against Maryland, it will be a five-game losing streak, something that has not happened since before Nick Saban. We will get to your calls in a moment as well. The guest call-in number, 619-924-9852. Again, 619-924-9852. You got any questions, or if you just want to talk Michigan State football, I understand that it can be a little upsetting to talk about the Spartans now, probably the most upsetting since the John L. Smith days, but we're going to beg you to keep it clean. We'll just leave it at that. And I think part of the reason why it is so upsetting is because of the expectation that this team had coming into this season. Now, we didn't know for sure if Michigan State was going to live up to the expectation that they have kind of set for themselves over a majority, if you will, of the past six seasons. Obviously, everybody knew that Michigan State was losing a lot, but the expectation was still there. And this is something that you can see throughout all of football. Oregon, they had high expectations. They're not looking so hot. Obviously, Michigan State's not doing too well. NFL equivalent, the Carolina Panthers, they've got all their parts back for the most part, with the exception of Josh Norman, but that wouldn't make a difference as they're 1-5. And it was kind of interesting because I produced a sports show down here called the WSBT Sunday Huddle in down here in South Bend. And this is something that they talked about, and it was something that I kind of had planned, you know, before I even knew what our topic was going to be yesterday. And Notre Dame, they have those same expectations, and with those expectations come, let's just say, less than happy fans if you don't live up to that level that you have set. You have people at Notre Dame calling for Kelly's head right now. You have some people, not many, doing the same thing with Mark D'Antonio. It's not exactly the most sane of thoughts. Obviously, Kelly is a different circumstance because Notre Dame has always kind of been up and down over the past 15 seasons or so, probably a little bit longer than that. They've been just a model of inconsistency. But when you look at Michigan State, D'Antonio has built up a model of consistency that the Spartans haven't seen since the mid-60s. And we do have one caller calling in right now. We'll get to you in just a moment. But, Grant, right now I want to get your thoughts on the Northwestern game as Michigan State failed to live up to expectations once again.
Yeah, you know, it was just disappointing. You know, there's really, you're starting to run out of words to describe how you really feel about this Michigan State team. And I think, you know, this was the first time that I was able to, I've been at every game, home game so far, so this was the first home game that I watched from my couch. I wasn't able to attend this one. And I think, you know, obviously you see some things on TV that you don't really get to see in the game necessarily when you're at the stadium. Vice versa, at the stadium, you don't necessarily get to see things that you, while you watch on TV. I think, you know, there's just so many issues everywhere. And it's everybody wants to pinpoint one thing. They can blame the quarterback. They can blame Dave Warner. They can blame the offensive line, the defensive line, whatever it may be, whatever everybody decides that they want to pinpoint. It's not just one unit. It's not just one player. It's not just one coach. It's been everybody making mistakes in different areas. It's a whole collective effort in terms of what's going wrong. And I think that, you know, you hit the nail on the head with the success they've had the past three or four years. every year the expectations are going to be very high. Once a fan base that didn't really taste much success for a while gets to taste it, it makes them become crazed for even more of it. And I think that's part of the issue, too, is, you know, there's going to be down years that Michigan State isn't in Alabama. They're not in Ohio State. I know all the fans want them to be that, and eventually the goal is to get there and to be that. But right now they're just not. And if you're not one of those programs, you're going to have down years. Michigan just went through a 10-year stretch or so where they weren't very good outside of a couple exceptions. So, if, you know, you're going to have stretches where you're just not very good. And this happens to be one of those years, one of those funny years that Michigan State just is going to fail to live up to expectations. And I think that fans can point to different things, but at the same time, you have to keep faith in a coach brought Michigan State back from the grave, essentially, when he first started, and now has brought them to the point where fans are upset and really, really calling for changes to be made when things like this happen.
Yeah, and I mean, you could point everywhere why you don't double-team Carr. I mean, that's on the defense, but Demetrius Cox had an awful game. Justin Lane gave up a big touchdown. But to be fair to him, he's a true freshman, a wide receiver starting at defensive back, and he did score 6 points of his own from that position. The special team's obviously an issue. The offensive line has been an issue. Drops have been an issue. Without the offensive line, the running game hasn't been able to get going. The quarterbacks haven't had protection, no matter who it is. Let's go ahead and let's get on with this caller right now. Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just trying to keep the blades away from my wrist.
Yeah. Oh, so what do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, where to begin? I think, honestly, just because I think most people are fixated on it, like you said, there's problems all over the board. But in regards to, like, quarterback situation and looking ahead or any of that stuff, I don't think playing will work. It's so much looking ahead. I just think that he, in the pocket, his pocket presence and his ability to know when that mental clock is dwindling down and you have to just get out of there, I think he made a lot of plays with his feet. And, I mean, his arm looked great, but we all knew that. I think his ability to move around the pocket and pick up yards, even when it was only 1 or 2 yards, I will take those 1 or 2 yards versus a 7-yard sack or 7-yard loss because of a sack any day. And I just haven't seen O'Connor be able to move around the pocket the way LeWork has in that first half. Granted, he came out and threw the ball around and did some great things, and that was great. But because the fact that our old line is so subpar right now, I think we need somebody back there that can anticipate, okay, this pocket's going to break down, I'm going to have to move. And I think LeWork did that better.
I think he did move. I thought O'Connor has improved it throughout the course of this year. Obviously, I think that there are some issues. He did play a game and a half last season where he had 3 pros on that line, and 2 of those guys being All-Americans, one of them probably one of the most versatile offensive linemen in college football last year, and Donovan Clark. And so maybe that plays into it a little bit. And while Lewerke has taken off, and I think he did some good things. I mean, I think you've listened to the show before, and you know how high I am on Lewerke. Me and Grant were talking about it for the past couple of weeks. Like, I think this kid is the next Jeff Smoker, Tony Banks, with that arm. But there were other times where I saw him do 1-2 and then take off. He had time.
Right.
It's a rare instance. He had time. He showed that he is a freshman, though. And while O'Connor has taken a couple sacks, he understands that he can't make some of these plays with his feet. He can't make a 3rd and 15 with his feet.
Right.
He's a lot more mobile than a guy like Connor Cook or even Kirk Cousins. But he's not Michael Vick at the same time.
Exactly.
And Grant, go ahead if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys, you know, both of you brought up some great points. I think the one thing to remember about playing a guy like Yorkie, who's a redshirt freshman who has yet to start a game for Michigan State, is a lot of times, you know, not a lot of times, but when kids come in and have success like that, and haven't played a lot, and are, you know, hyped up to be really good. They came in and had success. You also have to keep in mind that Northwestern didn't really have any idea what State was going to do at quarterback coming into this game. They probably prepared for all three, but in terms of their preparation for Lewerke, it probably wasn't that high considering he doesn't have a lot of tape out there, unless you go back all the way to high school, which is obviously, you know, you can look at things there, but it's high school football. And so that's the other thing to keep in mind. But I do think if you're going to look at the quarterback situation right now, and you're Mark D'Antonio and you're Dave Warner, I think you have to just go with one guy. You have to stop going back and forth between guy to guy. Go with one guy. If Lewerke is that guy and you want to go young, then do it. Commit to it. You know, there's that old saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. Well, you know, go with that one guy. Pick the guy that you want and go with him the rest of the season. If it's Lewerke, fine. If it's O'Connor, fine. Either way, just go with that one guy or else you're just going to keep seeing these, you know, the offense is tough to get in a rhythm when you don't know who's going to come out in the next series. It's tough for the receivers to know that, the running backs, you know. If you don't, the teammates don't know who's going to come out in the next series, it's tough to get in a rhythm during the game. So just pick a guy and stick with him, I think, is what I'd like to see personally from the coaching staff.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about the quarterback play as the show progresses, but we're going to get to a different caller right now. Area code 616. Hey, how you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
No, I'm just listening. I like a lot of what you guys are saying about Lewerke and everything like that. But I think if we going with him, and I think it's a great idea to do it, I think we have to open up our playbook more and let these guys try to think more on the fly and go on the fly, because it seems like our plays are getting limited. And it looked like the last two games, because I was at the BYU game and stuff like that, it looked like a lot of our plays were scripted and it was easy to figure out what we were doing because our formations really didn't throw anyone off.
Yeah, and going back to that, I'm sorry, you cut out for a second. O'Connor only threw the ball, 11 times, and me and Grant,
yeah,
we kind of talked about the issues with Dave Warner, perhaps. BYU's assistant coach said they didn't do anything that we didn't plan for.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we do agree, and we think opening things up is a good idea. You saw what Tyler O'Connor did when he first came in, 10 to 13, 255
yeah,
yards, three touchdowns.
Yeah,
that
was
the playbook that I wanted to see. And, I mean, I know some people have talked about it. Well, O'Connor's stats are padded because the two deep balls to RJ Shelton, one of them was a little long. I don't want to hear that crap. All right,
yeah.
Connor Cook is the greatest quarterback that Michigan State has ever had. But at the same time, I can't recall ever seeing a quarterback at any level through all the football that I've watched that was as lucky as Connor Cook with some of his bounces.
Well, that's agreed. all over the place.
Yeah, a couple plays. I know that there was one against Michigan. He threw over the middle of the field once that Josiah Price caught. There was one before that. This was a couple years ago. He threw one that bounced off Price's hands and bounced through a U of M guy's fingertips. Illinois, that 99-yard drive that he had to Benny Fowler, that one got tipped. That should have been picked. I mean, you can't sit there and nitpick the results of every throw just because you don't like a guy,
yeah,
and not do the same for his predecessor who's throwing 6 points lower as far as completion percentage goes than Tyler O'Connor. And
yeah,
so I think that that's the thing, is they do need to open up the playbook more. I liked what they did at the end against BYU. The problem I like what they did against BYU, and I also liked what they did at the end against Northwestern. The problem is O'Connor against Northwestern, and Grant will get your thoughts on this in just a second, was a little too jittery at the end. Well, I feel there are aspects where he's better than Connor Cook. At the same time, he doesn't have that ability to strap a team on his shoulders, carry them down the field like Cook did a lot of last season, and do what needs to be done to win the game. And it doesn't help, obviously. And so well, O'Connor lost the Northwestern game. Essentially, that's going to go down as the work he's lost. O'Connor,
mm-hmm.
it was in there as well. He can't keep pace with Northwestern, so he got a little jittery, and I think that that's where his overthrows came from. I think if he had a whole half to settle down prior to that, he only would have been that much better, especially if the playbook looked like it did at the end of that game, minus some of those wide receiver throwbacks with R.J. Shelton.
Yeah.
Grant, you want to jump in on this?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in terms of the whole opening up the playbook point, too, I know part of this is skewed because they did have two quarterbacks that they were looking at. With, you know, with playing two guys, you obviously want to get that enough attempts and enough reps to decide who's going to be your guy going forward. But they did throw the ball 42 as the fact they were down and trailing at the end of the game. But outside of quarterback carries, they only ran the ball 12 times to a variety of different guys. So it's not like it was a typical Dave Warner game where you sit there, you just turn around and hand the ball off each side of the center, right up the middle, and live with it. I think Dave Warner, you know, when he hears people or might hear outside noise thinking opening up the playbook, it doesn't necessarily mean throwing the ball 50 times and not really having a design or what you want to do or a game plan as to how you want to attack downfield. You have to have that game plan. I think you saw a really good one with O'Connor when O'Connor came in, the adjustment that was made. Tyler pointed it out when he first came in. I actually think Warner had a very good set or a good stretch there of play calling, and I agree with Tyler on that. And then in terms of looking back at Cook, listen, the NFL is a great example. The hardest thing to do in football is replace a great quarterback, right? I mean, there's only so many guys in the NFL that have been able to do that. Given how great Connor Cook was, you know, the fans' expectation after watching that for 3 years is, you know, okay, well, Tyler O'Connor's going to come in and we're going to pick up where we left off, and that simply isn't the case. And even going turn to Lewerke or Terry, it's not going to be the same because he was so good. I think even more so this year, fans will appreciate him even more, how good he was. He had his flaws. It almost felt like he would make the impossible throw, and then sometimes he would leave a hitch route that was 10 yards down the field and the guy was wide open. He would leave that ball a yard short, which is funny sometimes. It always made me laugh when he did that because he makes such great throws and he goes and does that sometimes. But, you know, it's just so hard to live up to those expectations, live up to replacing a guy like Connor Cook, the winningest quarterback in program history. I mean, those guys don't just walk around on trees. Like, they're hard to find. You know, it's not easy to find a guy like that. So I think that's part of it, too. We talk about expectations all the time, and part of it might have just been Tyler O'Connor, especially given what he did against Ohio State last year, had expectations that were probably too high for him to start the year.
Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, Grant, I'm right there with you. And that was actually what we were going to get to once we got through those callers, is those expectations after Ohio State they were something else. And I think that's why the, like, backlash towards him has been as high as it is as well. Like, the expectation, the precedent was set, like, hey, you know what? He threw the ball 8 of 15 against Ohio State. Yeah, it was crappy weather, but you know what? He did just enough. He made that back shoulder throw to Trevin Pendleton. He looked good. And ultimately, Furman comes. He doesn't look the greatest. Dame comes. His stats are padded, but he does all right. Indiana, he would have looked. Wisconsin comes. He plays like garbage. I mean, that was a group effort to play like garbage. LJ Scott, Jake Hartbarger. You know, I mean, I'm done talking about that game. But, you know, then you get Indiana coming in, three drops, 132 yards, and touchdown left on the board. BYU, 11 passes. Northwestern, he comes out and he's fire, but he's trying to play catch-up when the defense can't stop anybody. And actually brings us to our next topic, is the defense, the expectations for the defense. They were a little high as well coming into this season. A lot of people had them pegged, returning to top 10 form. And you and me said the numbers don't reflect how good this defense has actually been. Well, we said that before.
Right.
Northwestern.
Yeah.
because Indiana, they scored, what, all their points late. Notre Dame scored when Michigan State went prevent. BYU scored all their points late, and we attributed a lot of that to the fact that Tyler O'Connor and company, or Brian Lewerke, or Damian Terry, or Cole, or Coons, or whoever's in there. Obviously, he hasn't seen a snap this season, but you get the picture. Whoever's in there, they can't stay on the field. And it just wore the defense down. You're thin up front on defense. You're thin in the secondary. Kari Willis actually has looked pretty good this season. But it's to the point you're starting a freshman wide receiver at corner. You're thin in the secondary. In the one spot you're not thin, those guys are dropping like flies. And it doesn't help that Malik McDowell's either suspended or he's getting helped off the field every game. And you're already thin up front. And so we thought the defense has looked pretty good. It's kind of changed against Northwestern. Do you attribute that to all of the lineup changes that took place, at least a little bit?
Yes and no. I think that Mark D'Antonio sort of, and I read your piece this morning about this, but sort of did kind of subtly hint towards the fact that he was going to go young because of the way he rotated his defense, who he played. And you look at it, and they had a lot of big plays. Northwestern had the touchdowns to Austin Carr, who's leading the Big Ten in receiving right now, by the way. It, you know, you would think that he would be a focus of the game plan effectively, but somehow he was still able to torch the MSU secondary. But so, yeah, Austin Carr had a couple big plays. They had another long throw down the sideline to there's a defensive breakdown and coverage there. The safety and the corner miscommunicated. Northwestern got pretty much walked into the end zone. And so I think they made Northwestern look a lot better offensively than they are. But I think defensively, when you hear and see all these young guys playing, you know, it's a lot of it is just the fact that they're not used to playing together, they're not used to communicating together, and that's a problem. And you saw a lot of defensive breakdowns and coverage, especially later on in the game where Thorson was able to kind of pick apart the defense. And you saw guys, Thorson would make throws, and the TV screen when I was watching would go, there'd be no defender near the receiver, and I'm like, where is our coverage? And so it's just, I think going young, especially defensively, the system that MSU plays relies so much on communication, on trust. When you read your corners on islands, a lot of times when they play the press coverage, it's so much dependent on trust, communication, and a lot of that, too, is attributed to the fact that, you know, we've had so many injuries at linebacker where it all starts, and the fact that our defensive line is so young. But, you know, the guys that are experienced and are playing, like McDowell, that's played a lot before, and some of the other ones, but McDowell especially, feel like they have to do a lot. And I think McDowell right now, everybody looks at it, I hear what's wrong with Malik McDowell, and I say nothing, outside of the fact that he's getting double-teamed every play. And I think that he's starting to trust his defensive lineman less and less and feel like he has to make every play. And he really had a very good game for defensive end, which I think is going to end up helping his draft stock. But it's insane to me that we – you know, again, the expectations, but when you go young on defense like this, it's so much harder to have success.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about the trust, and people got to realize, I mean, you know the cloth that Mark Antonio's cut from. He's from Saban, who is from Bill Belichick. And what's Bill Belichick's motto, his phrase that he utters every press conference? Do your job. Yep. So that's one of those things that Mark D'Antonio, he was a defensive player. And so, and then obviously you learn from one of the best college coaches of all time, if not the best college coach, who learned from the best NFL coach of all time. And it just kind of works its way down. Mark D'Antonio, he understands the importance of assignment football. And you're right, these guys are younger. They don't know how to do it. Missing Riley Bulla, yeah, he's a leader on the sideline, but guess what? You need him on the field. You need a couple of them against Northwestern, apparently. And so I think that was the biggest issue with the defense is Justin Langs and Demetrius Cox. He hasn't played like he has he hasn't just lived up to the expectations throughout his career, I guess you could say. Came in as a four-star, thought he was going to play right away. a lot of people did. And now he's gonna struggle moving on with his football career after this. I mean, I'm sure there's a spot in the CFL that would love him. They love the Spartan defensive backs, but the way that he's played this year, I don't think they love him this much. And it's just one of those things, like you talked about Malik McDowell as well. Malik McDowell, when he was playing tackle, he was getting in there a lot. He was getting in the backfield a lot. But guess what? He got so far ahead of everybody else, he wasn't playing assignment football anymore. And
right. It
opened up a hole for the running back. And I can't count the times, especially in the first three games, where the running back or the quarterback, whoever it was, went to the lane, McDowell, not that he vacated it, he just plowed through the offense to a point where it opens up a hole. And so he stopped playing assignment football, and I think putting him on the end is eventually going to be one of those better moves in the long run, because he just has to watch the outside as long as he doesn't go too far inside, which won't be an issue for him. Because if he goes too far inside, he's going to blow the quarterback up. He's going to look like Brian Lewerke when he took that safety. And so I think that putting him on the end, there's less responsibility to maintain your gap. Obviously, spread option teams, Ohio State, Northwestern, but he did a good job against them. There's less responsibility to maintain your gap when you're as big and as strong as he is, where you can kind of control where that gap is going to be. And on the end, you can still get after the quarterback while holding your zone. You can't do that at tackle. You do that at tackle, you step aside once. Well, guess what? The guard is pushing back McDowell the other way. You've got a lane to throw through. You got a lane to run through. It doesn't matter. And that's one of the things, is he's hurt by how good he is and the lack of production from the rest of the defensive line.
Right, and I think last point about Belichick and the mold that D'Antonio's cut from, and I think this game you saw it especially, is another Bill Belichick, you know, staple is taking away what the other team does best offensively. And, you know, I think you look at Northwestern coming into this game, Jackson had started to run a little bit better, but the key was stopping Carr, and, you know, the defense failed to do that. So that was also a little bit disheartening. I think that's something that's very important, obviously, is stopping what team does best, especially with Northwestern, where it's not that explosive of an offense. They might just have one or two playmakers. You just have to stop those guys, and they weren't able to do that.
Yeah, and, I mean, this isn't the first time Northwestern's done it against the good defense that kind of disappeared. They did the same thing against Iowa in a shootout at Iowa City. We got about 90 seconds left. Grant, look, the quarterback issue, Lewerke's going to play? Who's going to start?
I think they'll end up going with Lewerke and sticking with him full-time. You know, I think the fans will be happy about that. I think D'Antonio is starting to realize that might be the best move, especially I know it's tough to say get him in against Michigan and Ohio State because it's a pretty big moment for a kid that young. But the earlier he's able to play against teams like that, the more it'll benefit him next year and the year after. And so I think that's what's going to end up being the move. If they went another way, I wouldn't be upset about it because I think O'Connor and Lewerke at this point, I'm not sure which one will get more wins at the end of the year. But I think they will end up going with the youth and the work. Yeah, I think they kind of hit him that way on the defensive side, the way they played that too. So that's what I think is going to happen.
And I think O'Connor gives you the best opportunity right now to win games. Brian Lewerke, though, obviously a close second. I think they should give him a lot more of a chance against Maryland. D.J. Durkin, an aggressive defense. And if he doesn't perform, maybe you go back to TOC for the rest of the season. But I think that you've got to definitely give Lewerke a shot against Maryland. I completely understand going the other way now that you're pretty much just fighting for keeping the record bowl streak alive. And so we'll see how that goes. Be sure to check us out later this week. Ryan McCumber returns from his suspension, detrimental to the iSports MSU team. So he's got about a month of venting to do We'll hit you up later this week during our Maryland preview. For Grant Estemacher, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the Red Cedar Report.